Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends and neighbors. Welcome to the Midnight Garden with Mudtoe Sasquatch. That's who I am. I'm also sometimes called the Uncommon Shaman because I don't talk much like a shaman. I don't really look much like a shaman. I don't really live much like a shaman. But I guess certain people think I say shamanesque things or have shamanesque visions of the world. So I was granted that name, just as I was granted the name Mudtoe Sasquatch for other reasons. But here I am, speaking to you from my blanket fort that I have specially constructed for this occasion. I feel sometimes it's best, not only for purposes of the show, but just for purposes of my own mental well-being, to regress into the six-year-old. I don't even know that regress is the right word, just transport into that realm, time when most things seem to make sense, at least more so than they do today. So took my blankets and draped them over some chairs, and here I am broadcasting from that point this evening. I had a couple of worries about it. Actually, I tried to do that once and just couldn't. Well, I had a distinct sense of smothering at one point, so I knew, and there's no way I made a blanket fort that was, you know, hermetically sealed enough to actually smother myself. But I did get a little bit anxious, so I abandoned the attempt. So today I made sure that the spread of the blankets was much wider, and then I could actually see underneath, so I know that there's oxygen out there for me when and if I need it. The other thing is, you know, I use this I'm at my parents' house tonight, and they have a couple of telephone extensions throughout the house, and I steal this one. This is the one that's in my father's room, and he can't hear it anyway, so. But I know there's also one in my mother's room, and I haven't ever, I haven't seen these enough in operation to really know. I used to have a wireless, what's that, what you call them? Cordless. That's what they always called them, a cordless phone. I always had one, and when something was operating, like on another line, there would be a red light that would blink. And I'm hoping there's not a big old red light blinking in my mother's room right now, because that might wake her up, and that would be a bad thing. I don't want to wake up my mother. So I'm just going to have to go through this, the remaining 27 minutes of the show, worrying about that, and then investigate in the morning what my options might be. They pay a flat rate for this phone, as opposed to my having to pay for minutes on my cell phone. So it seemed a natural alternative for me to use this phone rather than my cell phone, especially at this late time of night. It's highly unlikely that any phone calls will be coming in for the family. So it seemed to make sense to go ahead and just use their phone instead of mine. But then I just happened to think tonight, what if that's, you know, the red light of doom is blinking in my mother's light room as I speak, and she's going to be charging down. She wouldn't charge down the hallway. My mother would never charge down any place. She might make her way in here and say, "You woke me up," and that would be a bad thing because I don't want to wake up my mother. She takes good care of me. We had shrimp and chips, shrimp and French fries tonight, made especially by hand by my mother, and very grateful for everything she does. Took a little pre-Father's Day trip to the supermarket. I noticed a couple of my pairs of khakis had been wearing out in the seat. I'm not exactly sure how long that's been happening. Just happened to notice it as I was putting one of them in the hamper, and there were two of them that were like that. And it's hardly surprising because I've had most of my pants that are in my closet right now, I have had for at least 10 years. Some of them probably closer to 15 or 20 years. So it's hardly surprising at this point that some of them are beginning to wear out. So we took a little trip from the supermarket, got a couple of pairs of khakis, along with what I'd originally gone there for, which was a couple of new pillows. Might have sort of broken down, you know, like they do. And they got pillows and pillow slips and pants. And I also ended up getting a new pair of tennis shoes just because I was there. Because that's what happens, you know, your mother just says, are you sure you don't need this? You sure you don't need that? Well, you know, $10 pair of white tennis shoes would be nice too. So, you know, God bless Mom. She comes through for me, and she's come through, and I've relied on her for a lot over the past 4.5 years, and at the moment I'm in a space where I'm not hitting her up too terribly often, you know, for things like, you know, electric bill and stuff. I'm able to take care of that myself, and I think that's kind of the first level, first space. Moving towards in my independence, I can at least say, well, I'm paying my utility bills, and this is a good thing, and we'll build from there. So anyway, thank you for tuning into the show, and listening to that long-winded explanation of why I'm doing the show covered in blankets tonight. I guess I didn't really mention it. It's just a feeling of. I put in the notes for the show that I was going to talk about the Cassandra complex, and I'm not even sure that's the right name for it. It does have the word Cassandra in it, I know, and it's about the Greek mythological character Cassandra, who knows the future, but no one will believe her. So there's the she knows, but she can't do anything about it because she can't convince anybody that her vision is true. And there are times that I feel that way. Now, not exactly that way, because I don't feel like I never feel like I see the future, but I feel like I see things, you know, in the environment, in society, and I report these things, and I end up being on the receiving end of a lot of skepticism. And I thought the show today might be about ways to deal with that. Unfortunately, as sometimes happens, I haven't been able to think of any, and I need to make it a good show. I have to be able to think of enough to fill up, you know, 30 minutes. I guess one way I deal with it is to build a blanket for it. I don't know how effective that is. But as I say, it gets me into this sort of younger version of myself where I want to say where things made more sense. I'm not sure that things made more sense. I'm not sure that much of anything makes sense to a child. It just doesn't seem to matter that it doesn't make sense. It doesn't hurt that it doesn't make sense. It isn't hurtful to see that look on somebody else's face. You know, like you're not making sense, at least until you start to get, I don't know, what would Piaget say, about 10, 11 years old, maybe, when you start to inquire into and understand, maybe not understand, but to learn how to function, how to take sort of the vagaries of adult behavior into account as you navigate your daily life. It's sort of the things like, I mean, this happens to me all the time. I'm sitting on a bus, and there'll be a young parent there with a very young child, and they're you know, yelling at them, telling them to behave, and it's not, you know, below a certain age, again, about 10, maybe 8 to 10 years old, you know, the kid just doesn't, you know, the sort of arbitrary standards of adult behavior don't make sense to a child. I mean, why? what are you talking about? And it isn't until I think you get to that age where you start to have some insight into that sort of theoretical world that adults theoretical isn't the right word. What the word was for that sort of constructed world, this world of arbitrary standards that adults build, and you have to be a certain age, a childhood, before that starts to make, before you can process that, before you can alter your behavior, adjust your behavior to fit into those niches that the adults prepare for you and leave for you and expect that you will fill. And if you're one of those people who never really fit into the niches very well, like myself, who found one niche that I fit into and concentrated on that, and then when I became an adult, I found it wasn't as important. I'm talking about academic achievement was the one thing that I understood, so I did that. And then when I got to be an adult, I found that it wasn't really that important in the world of adults, the things that I did when I was a kid in school. So I retreated back to school. When I was about 40 years old, I went back to get my master's degree and then worked on a PhD for 4 years until I ran out of funding and sort of ran into that dead end. But I tried, I made that. I mean, there is one place where academic achievement does matter when you're an adult, and that's at school. In the world of academia, where I found was the only place once I got a job out of college. The next time anybody asked me about my grades in college or my achievement in school was when I went back to school. So outside of that world, once you make that transition out of it, it's not something you hear about a lot. At least in my experience, it wasn't. And then these other things, I would see about seeing things that were out of place. I would just let that go. As long as I had that one world that I understood, grades and class rankings and final papers and APA guidelines and all those things, all those rules that I could apply, and I knew these rules led to conformance, led to success. As long as that world was there for me, I could let the other stuff go. Then starting about 4.5, really starting before that, because I knew that my studies must inevitably come to an end, that I wasn't going to be able to complete it as much as I convinced myself that something was going to happen. Some sort of outside intervention would occur that would allow me to continue and complete. I felt obligated in a way, to complete the PhD, because that was the highest pinnacle of academic achievement, and I had to, if I was going to be that thing, I had to complete that and have that show. See, I really was as good as I told everybody I was, or everybody told me I was. Well, that didn't happen. Ran out of funding, ran out of time, really didn't have a clear idea of what it was I wanted to do. That's the thing about getting your PhD. You got to pick a subject, a study, and it's got to be very narrowly defined, and it's going to dominate your life for like 2 or 3 years. And I could never get myself to that point. So that ended, and began my quest to get back into the world of work. But as I was doing that, these thoughts that I was able to dismiss, just looking at the world around me and seeing that things didn't fit and that nobody else seemed to see that, or at least they didn't care about it. And this became more and more bothersome to me, and has been a definite hindrance to my re-entering the world of work. There's a whole lot of what's being accomplished here. What is it that I'm going for? You know, what is it that will be proven? What is it that, besides obviously feeding myself, which is a priority, obviously. But I find, you know, there are other ways to feed myself. Certainly I've been criticized for availing myself of those. But I just find it's difficult for me to step into a job where things are clearly, they've not been, the world of that company or of that that job has not been properly constructed, and I know it, and there's nothing I can do about it. It's very difficult. It's been impossible for me to step into it, at least not on a permanent basis. So I continue to look, and I still want to work. You know, I'm not ready to quit looking for work. I'm not ready to live on the government dole for the rest of my life. I want to work, but I have to find something that will mesh with my sensibilities. I have to find something that I can, something that I understand and that is advancing some idea or goal that I can get behind. It has to be something that means something to me. And I guess the next thing I'm getting ready to explore here is working at the casino. Yay! I think we talked about that last week a bit. I don't know. I can never remember what I talked about last week. I could be doing exactly the same show this week as I did last week, and I would never know it. But it's sort of the same, the top job that came out of that job fair that I went to, the top possibility. I think I had another one on top. There's like a Bed Bath and Beyond that seemed like it could be like a training type job, which is what I did at the university before. But always up there are, you know, the library, because, you know, I like the library, and the casino. The library because, you know, that sorts with my sensibilities. But the problem is that the openings are always, you know, someplace far flung, far away in town. The casino, at least, is close, and there are sort of public interface jobs that I could do that I think I might be good at, you know, helping people find solutions and so forth, although I don't know how well I would do with irate people. And you see there, I guess you see that a fair share of those, but I don't know. Maybe I should look at Bed Bath & Beyond first. I don't know. It just seemed like all the people I talked to at the job fair were just very kind of... The impression I got was they were sort of saying, yes, we need you, because they probably said that to everybody. You know, so like, especially I talked to Amazon. And I mean, that's a cattle call, there's no question. But it just seemed like every place I talked to was, you know, they're just trying to get warm bodies in there and then do some sort of cut. I don't know. That's the kind of thing that flies exactly in the face of what, you know, I look for in my career, which I think there's still a career left. It's 15 years before I get to Social Security. You know, I'd like to make them 15 good years, 15 productive years. I've also been doing some work with this as I think I said last week that I got in touch with my, or was contacted by my assistant principal from high school, and he runs a charity now. I was wondering if I might do some grant writing on commission, and we're exploring those possibilities now. I was reading some contracts and materials about that today, and again, that would be something... certainly something that isn't going to, I mean, not going to get rich off of that, but I'm not looking to get rich off of it. And if I could make enough off of that that I could, you know, pay my bills and, you know, pay my rent as it comes up, maybe go and get a decent place. You know, that's certainly something that needs doing. And, you know, at least two people I know that I've talked to from the place that I like. And he said that there are other people involved in different aspects of this that, you know, I could meet, and you know, something may come of that. You know, they may be able to find something full-time or more lucrative, at least, for me. So part of me wants to just focus on that. And the other part of me says, well, you could go to the casino and just make money for a while. And which is kind of the way my last 4-5 jobs have gone. I mean, I knew going into it that I wasn't going to be there forever. And it made me feel, you know, kind of like fake, you know. I felt I wasn't, I didn't feel, because, you know, there was fakeness coming back at me. I mean, there's the whole recruiting process. There's a lot of dishonesty involved on both sides. So I don't feel so much a sense of guilt about, you know, walking away from these things. As I knew when I went in that it wasn't going to be not what I was going to do for the rest of my career. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. It's what I've always said. I'm looking for the last, you know, the last job I'll ever do. And it needs to be one that'll make me happy. And so many people, you'll look at me in an odd way when I say that. Happy? If you have to be happy, what kind of expectation is that? Well, I think if we all held to that expectation, the world might be a better place, because our employers would have to think about happy if we weren't all so willing to throw that away. Before it gets too late here, it looks like we're about 8 minutes left. I wanted to put in a word about last week. First of all, I don't even know if you guys heard the show last week, because I came home very late, like with only about 2 or 3 minutes to get the show started, and Skype had disappeared from my computer. I found out later that it had been automatically updated, and I have to reset all the, you know, like the settings that it's, you know, opens automatically when you open the computer and all that. But I didn't have time to discover that, so I used Blog Talk as a utility, which is sort of their own Skype. Now, I tried to use it one other time. This had been quite a while ago, and it didn't work very well, so I've always avoided it. But I had to punch it, you know, no other way to get the show on here. And started about a minute late anyway, even using that. So I don't know, I meant all week to go back and check and, you know, listen to the archive and see if the show even went out, or if it, you know, went out in some form that can't be, you know, heard or understood. But I never did that, so I don't know. But presuming the show did go out, you might, those of you who heard it might have noticed that it was kind of short. First of all, because I said it got started like a minute late. But then with about 4 minutes to go, I got a knock at the door. And I put the music on, I put the break music on, and went, and it was one of my neighbors, and she was having a crisis and needed to get somewhere. So I went on in, and I cut the show short by about 3 minutes, but I mean, that's what that was all about. I think for the future, I might just put something up on my door saying, on the air. I don't know if they would believe that, but if I put something on, I said, please don't knock on the door until 12:30. I'd rather they not knock on the door at all, because it's usually, my neighbors tend to knock late, and it's usually bad news, and something that I have to, or that they want me to help them take care of. I'm often a bus driver, as what's happened in this particular case. Other times, they hit me up for money. They got the powers off, and their babies are cold and all this. And I try to, normally I don't have money. I try very scrupulously to avoid having any cash on me when I'm in the apartment for just that reason. I don't mind helping out with a little bit of, you know, if they need something to eat. I've done that before. Somebody needs a shower, I've done that before. Allowed them to use my shower, I mean. And I guess that may have resulted in my having a reputation as the neighborhood soft touch. which is probably why I get those knocks sometimes very, very late at night. I had one neighbor who used to knock when I wouldn't answer the door. I have like a front door, and then the back is, you know, my bedroom is the back, and there's no door, but there's a window. And she would come and knock on my window at like 4 in the morning asking for stuff. It's like, not okay, not okay. But sometimes, you know, once your survival skills have been honed, you know whose door or whose window to knock on. That they'll answer eventually, I guess. So you have to adopt some of my own survival skills. You know, I get when the knocking gets too frequent, I'll escape for a few days, room here with mom and dad, enjoy the ancestral home, I guess. And this is the same house. We lived in this house for 40 years. That's kind of hard to wrap your head around. We moved here when I was 12 years old. And same old house. I was thinking tonight that another thought that's, you know, another thing hard to wrap my head around, that, you know, the day will come when I don't come here anymore. You know, that someday my parents won't be here anymore for whatever reason. And that's just weird to think about, because this has always been. It's been my home base for basically as long as I can remember, for as long as I've been ambulatory, you know, been able to leave and then come back. This was the place that I could always come to. You know, when wife number one kicked me out, when I left wife number two, there was never any question. You know, this is where I could come to, and then I wouldn't be welcome here. I've come back, I think it's 5 times. I counted it out one time. I've moved back here. I moved out and then moved back 5 different times. And wanted to make the last time being about 2 years ago. And I got this, I have this apartment in Columbus now that's through HUD. And I'm trying to, you know, make sure I cultivate that so that it doesn't become necessary for me to move back again, because eventually it's not going to be here and I'm going to be stuck. And of course, wish long life to both of my parents. My father will be 80 later on this summer. My mother will be 77. And they're both, you know, they're both getting along pretty good, but I think they need their oldest boy to start standing on his 2 feet more. I think that would be better for them. Although, you know, I really wish they would use their resources more for themselves. They don't. You know, they never go anywhere. They never do anything for themselves. I really wish they would do that rather than, you know, just waiting for me to need something for the gas bill. And on that cheerful note, I've just received my 90-second warning from Blog Talk. The show ripped by as usual. I'm going to dismantle my blanket fort here and return it to the normal sleeping configuration and get started on some... I'm going to sleep first and get started on the usual batch of job applications and so forth. Father's Day celebrations coming up on Sunday. My daughter taking me out for Father's Day on Tuesday. So, some good things coming up, and I'm glad to report that. I'd like to report the positive stuff. I'm going to hop off the air now. Thank you for listening, and turn next week. Have a pleasant good evening.